Election 2011 coverage on Manx Radio, brought to you by PDMS.
Well, this morning, the aptly named constituency of Middle, because it happens to just be there, in the middle, and a candidate who's resigned his government position to take his chance at the hustings. Paul Crane is with me. He's 56, married, two daughters, lives in Union Mills, has been a commissioner, indeed chairman of Moran Commissioners. Formerly a teacher, then he became coordinating advisor for the secondary education, and it's that job that he's resigned from to go for his chance at the hustings. Good morning, Mr. Crane. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, John. More am I.
So you'll be salaryless for a month, and then if unsuccessful, you can reapply for an old job. But it's a risk, not an enormous one, presuming you were good at your job.
It is a risk, I suppose. I'm hoping to find out shortly whether I would be reinstated if I'm unsuccessful in the election.
But you were good enough for your job to expect to get the job back again, hopefully.
Not automatically, but I'm hoping so.
You were a teacher for 20 years.
That's right, yes.
I taught geography, I think.
It was a geography teacher, yes. I taught in the United Kingdom on Merseyside for 5 years and then taught at Castle Rush and promoted down there to an assistant head before I took on the job in the department.
Was that a good grounding for a political career, geography?
Geography, very much so, because what I was studying in terms of a human geography degree, as it were, most of it was to do with population, with economics, with environment, with pollution, with European Union, with location of economic activity, economic development, and so on. So, yeah, an excellent grounding.
So you also learned how, presumably, to keep a classroom in order, and that might be useful in politics, I would have thought, when you're speaking.
Well, that came later, but yes, when I was a 17-year-old, we had a day from school down in the Keys, and at the time, I can recall thinking that this was very like a classroom context.
You quote a colleague as saying that you have a good brain, enormous common sense and a big heart. So no lack of confidence there.
Well, that's what the colleague said.
But you obviously thought, yes, this rings a bell.
It was flattering. I accept that it's flattering, but it's if I can live up to that, then I would make a good constituency MHK.
Do you feel you will?
Do I feel I will live up to it?
Yeah.
I think I bring to it, in terms of the good brain bit, I bring to it a good professional pedigree, if you like, in the sense that I'm well qualified. I've worked in a school context and in a civil service context where I'm used to a range of professional activities. So, yes, I bring that. Common sense, I'd like to think so. A big heart, well... Yes, I would like to think I'm a caring sort of individual.
Well, let's touch upon one of those. You say, I know how the civil service operates. You know its faults.
I think I know some areas of
major
fault,
faults.
If you like. Major fault. The major fault, perhaps, is that the civil service doesn't see the whole of itself. You know, those working in it always see one small part to it.
We're little kingdoms surrounded by Chinese walls, aren't they?
Apart from the group that's this corporate leadership group, which is trying to pull things together. But that is a fault that the civil service is fully aware of. So that is a fault that every course you do in the civil service, you're reminded that you don't work for your department, you work for the Alamán government. So it's a fault that the civil service can see.
It's difficult to carry it out in practice, as we've seen in the past. Some departments seem to go their own way.
I think that's less the case at the moment, where all the departments in the experience they've been through in the last couple of years, where they've been looking at budget reductions and looking at their own activities and then appraising their own economic activities, as it were. I think there's greater awareness of the departments that need to be protected in difficult times.
Where would cuts come? If you were in a position where you could carry out cuts, where would you say the government has to slim?
I've heard you ask other candidates that, and I think in many ways it's the wrong question to ask, because what would be unacceptable would be candidates sitting here saying, oh, I would cut infrastructure, or I think we've got to take money out of healthcare. And the next question...
It does show their thought about the question, though.
Well, it would show that. Let me continue to the end of that. The next question that would follow if you're saying, let's cut there, would be, well, hang on, what's the costings of that? What's the impact of that on other areas as well as your own? It is a better process to cut funding, to use what they call the BEAR mechanism, this basic economic activity review, and to use that process where you're asking each department where the knowledge of exactly what the impact would be of cuts that would follow.
Can I just move on to one last question?
Okay.
Housing. You obviously look at the Eastern Plan, which is hoving into view. You see that as a threat to Middle? Or is this a benefit or what?
I think that as we move into this phase of the Eastern Area Plan, which is the next one coming after the Southern Plan, I think Middle on the edge of Douglas is at risk of having the development. It's the place of choice for developers, I think.
It's a gold mine for developers, isn't it?
I think that that may be overstating it, but I could see it as being the place of choice. So I think we'll need to have development that meets the needs of the community and not the needs of the developers.
Mr. Crane, we have to end there, but thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Paul Crane, who is standing in the constituency of Middle in the election on the 29th of September. It's 8 o'clock.